Good evening and welcome to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson, I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. Don't forget that you have many options as how you can listen to us. You can listen to us on that thing called a radio, for those of you born in the 1900s. For those of you born in the late 1900s, you can maybe go to the www.guardiantalkradio.com website and click the live stream button. And for those of you born after the year 2000, like one of my guests, you can just download the app onto your phone and you can listen to us all day. Go to the App Store or Play Store. And of course, we really want you to listen on Wednesday evenings when The Blank Canvas is in the house because, well, we don't want to brag, but we think it's an awesome show. So tonight I have three of four artists who are doing a group show at Dungalik, which opens tomorrow night. They are in the studio so we can meet some young I say young because I'm so old. Young practitioners and learn about their practice and what the show is, which is called Self-Portrait. So I'd like to welcome Imani Hepburn to the show. Good evening, Imani.
Good evening.
Thomas Hairston.
Good evening, everyone.
Good evening. And Zanzi.
Yes.
Did I say that right? Yay! Good evening. And there's a fourth artist who was unable to join us, Eddie Zamea. So I guess somebody will just talk on his behalf. Yeah. So the four of you are doing a show. But first, before we talk about the upcoming show, let's meet a couple of you. Let's start with Zanzi because we haven't had you in the studio before. Thomas and Imani have already done this. So we're gonna break you in. So tell us a little bit about yourself. How did you get into art? How did you meet this gang? I know you're also a spoken word artist.
Yes, and writer.
So just give the audience like a little bit of a background about who you are.
Well, my name is Zanzi and I'm fantastic.
You are?
Yes.
Definitely.
I style myself as a multimedia artist. I don't know if that's right. But anyway, I work in a variety of different mediums. I write, perform, paint, collage, basically anything that will get my message across.
Mm-hmm.
I have been, you know, immersed in the arts from I was a very, very small child, introduced to it by my father, who's also an artist, and kind of mentored me for, you know, throughout my formative years. And
would we know him?
Yes.
Who is your dad? You don't have to tell us, but, I mean,
secret.
You brought him up. Okay, we'll move along. We'll move along.
My dad is Felix Bethel.
Okay.
Yes. And he was really the spark in my thinking as well, mm-hmm. and teaching me that, you know, whatever you say, your work is supposed to make a contribution, that, you know, art does not exist just for itself, you know, it's you have a social responsibility, and that informs a great deal of my work, which I believe that everything that I do, especially, must say something, must interrogate our lived situation,
current situation,
not just and current and
or you know, and past,
and propose solutions mm-hmm. for the future. You know,
well, that's great to hear because I think again we like to in every country in the world we just like to sort of complain about what doesn't work. But I always say, you know, in my home and my work environment, everyone's allowed to complain, but bring a solution, or at least come with an idea. Yes. And I think that's what's so great about the creative community, right? Is the creative people are always looking at like, how can we do this different?
But I think that is what the artist's job is.
Mm-hmm.
You know, artists are the ones who have the responsibility to imagine futures, imagine possibilities, which is why I really believe that we need artists in government. But nobody following me up on that.
Well, yeah, I would agree with you, actually. We know there's a lot of discussion at the governmental level of, you know, which ministry should we belong in? Like, where should culture be? Should culture be here? And I'm like, listen, first of all, there should be a little bit of culture in every ministry.
I agree.
Or we should just have our own, right? Because it is something that really reaches into every part of life. And it always seems to be like, we're just the icing on the cake. We're not part of the baking mixture. And it's like, in my perspective, we're the foundation. Right? So, I heard you perform. You were actually part of the NE9. You were one of the artists that was part of the national exhibition this year. And I heard some of your poems at one night in the amphitheater. They were amazing and very honest and very direct. Is poetry something that, how do you manage all the different practices? Do you say like, well, today I'm going to do my writing? Or do you just wake up and whatever, you know, well, whatever strikes you? Or do you, so how do you manage being a multi-dimensional artist?
For a long time, it was quite challenging. It was difficult. But now I think that I've gotten to a point where I realize that they all need to work together. Mm-hmm. They need to work as one cohesive unit because they're all different aspects of my thought process. So mm-hmm. within this particular show, I'll actually be displaying visual pieces, mm-hmm. And they're also going to be accompanied by writing, poetry. Mm-hmm. There's going to be one spoken segment about one of my pieces, which is an ongoing work, including four installations. And yeah, they're 8, 4, 2, and 1.
Cool.
Yes.
And so will there be a performance on the opening night?
It's not quite a performance, but it's a...
A reading.
It's a reading, and it's definitely going to talk about this particular piece. I'll tell you a joke. Somebody asked me, because I hadn't been painting for about 9 years. Somebody asked me, well, where you been? What you been doing all this time? You used to be so smart. You ain't finished your degree yet. What's going on?
Used to be.
What you been doing?
I know. I'm like, what?
This is what they said to me. Everybody else doing big things. And what you been doing? I said, well, since you must know your nosy self, okay? I have been doing big things, too. And I have been creating art, all right? It's just that these pieces of art are living, breathing human beings. Mm-hmm. And they require lots of time, lots of effort, lots of energy, and lots of money, and they're ongoing pieces of art.
That's true.
And
Preach.
They're going to be on sale for $37 trillion. Yeah. Or any part thereof.
Yeah.
Well, it'll go into a trust fund. You can't carry the art.
Yeah. I don't want to go too off topic, but I always say where the women's movement failed was in acknowledging the work of a mother.
Yes.
Right? It was all about, you know, let's be allowed to work. Let's be allowed to be, like, equal with men in the workplace. But we forgot that. And it goes now in the 21st century for men, too. My husband, we've traded on and off. Sometimes I'm at home, sometimes he's at home. And it's so much harder for him.
Yes.
Because everyone's judging him. Like, oh, what? Yeah, he's at home looking after the kids? And you're like, yeah, because I'm making more money right now. So
I'm experiencing the same thing.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, when if my husband goes and asks, you know, hey, I need this time off because I have to take care of my children. I have to take this one to the doctor. Mm-hmm. I have to do this. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the mother? You know? And then he has to, you know, explain to them.
And then you wonder why men aren't more involved in their children's lives, right? Because that's the attitude. It's like only the mother can do it.
When they do try to become involved,
they get pushback.
You get pushback.
Mm-hmm. But it's true. I mean, circling back to art, which is what we're here to talk about. But you say you sort of said it almost as a joke, but that raising children is kind of a practice. And, you know, if you consider what you put out, you spoke to putting what everything you put out in the world has to have meaning and has to have. And it is true
and
that somehow bringing children up is part of our work as well, right? To make good humans who are going to go and do good things in the world is not only a creative job, but a really important one. Really, really important one. So how many kids do you have?
I have four.
Mm-hmm.
I have four.
God bless you.
I'm going to say this, because lots of people don't like to be honest about parenthood. It's very hard.
It's very hard.
And in my writing as well, I talk about mm-hmm. it, and I talk about the struggles, you know, and I think that especially as women in this particular space, you get a lot of pushback if you complain or if you express any kind of dissent, you know, and then you wonder why you have mothers who drive to the Potter's Key dock and drive off into the water.
Well, again, I think this mythology of the roles does a lot to confirm these stereotypes that make people despondent. Again, mm-hmm. you know, that the men shouldn't be, like you said, you have a father who wants to be engaged, who wants to take his kids to school or braid his daughter's hair, and they get made fun of, or mm-hmm. they get told they can't do that. So why should then, and we complain about all the men not at families right now, why should they then be involved if that's mm-hmm. what they're going to get? And then the women, you know, again, you hit the nail on the head. So I only have two, which is why I said God bless you, because I don't know how women with more, you know, it's hard, and I have a very involved husband, and to keep all that. So how did you find that took energy away from your creative practice, or were you creating but just doing it sort of in the home on the side, and so you weren't able to sort of be out in the world kind of showing what you were creating, or did you sort of channel your creativity into the raising of the children?
I didn't paint anything mm-hmm. Since 2010. Mm-hmm. The first, that would have been the year that I became pregnant with the first one. Mm-hmm. And now this is four children later, mm-hmm. I finally painted another painting. Mm-hmm. This is the first show that where I'm actually producing, you know, paintings in my, you know, the medium that I started in, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. you know. But during that time, I found it was, like I said, it was very, very difficult. Mm-hmm. Because the mundane definitely gets in the way.
I started the business when I was pregnant with my first, so I understand.
Yeah, when you get, I found that I got, you know, you get absorbed in changing mm-hmm. pampers, mm-hmm. mopping floor.
Well, and the small amounts of time that you have to yourself, you just have to pack things in because you know it's very short-lived. You know, I was actually writing at the time. I was doing art criticism. I found that I got much more organized. Because I knew, I was like, I only have, you know, whereas before I had kids, I could spend all day, like, dusting my typewriter keys or the keys on my computer. You know, I was sort of like, okay, the baby's asleep. I have exactly 2.5 hours to pump out this article. So it made me more focused in a way, but it certainly was difficult to do some things that I'd done previously. Did you turn to writing in that time as a way that would be just simply because the media is easier to control?
Yes, quite a bit, I mm-hmm. did. Even that still, though, was kind of hampered. Mm-hmm. In the past year, though, I will say that I have made a more concerted effort, and I've kind of learned to use my time more efficiently. Mm-hmm. So I write my poems when I'm driving in the car, and when the children go to school, mm-hmm. I have those hours. Mm-hmm. I basically do that while I'm driving, while I'm doing mm-hmm. regular stuff. You know, if I have to do housework, I'm writing in my, you know, in my head, and then I go mm-hmm. and jot it down. But that's how it's been.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome back. Welcome back to the outside world, and good job again. Like, kudos to you, because I think we don't do a good enough job supporting the caregivers, whether they are aunts, uncles, grandparents, mothers, fathers. I think that we tend to take that for granted, and that's what makes it difficult, is that it's unpaid labor, and it's labor that is not acknowledged. So I think it's important to acknowledge. So well done. I've met one of you humans. He's at our summer camp. And no, he came to the Friday. He came to the Friday thing
when we
where we planted in the in. Oh well, he blended in very well. He blended in on Friday. We planted plants in the Junkanoo garden, and then we did some things in the gallery, and he was running around. So I met one of them, and so bravo to you. So I have just been speaking with Zanzi, who is one of the four artists who will be at the Dungalik Studios show tomorrow night between 6 and 9 p.m. It opens. It's called Self Portrait. And the other artists are Amani Hepburn, Eddie Zamea, and Thomas Hairston. We're going to hear from Amani and Thomas after the break. Eddie was unable to join us tonight. We're going to hear a little bit about them. And in the last segment, we'll talk about the show and what it is trying to speak to and come to terms with, and why you should all show up and support these amazing artists. So you're listening to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the executive director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're going to be right back after this break.